With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone, welcome back to part two of Private Parts. Still here with Jack Fowler.
Yo, what up?
Hey, hey. Foolish. Did you guys have fun listening to Foolish? Just talking to the listener there, Jack.
Did you have fun?
Did you have fun? Hey, did you guys have fun listening to Foolish? Because you'd be foolish not to. When you get inspiration for music, where do you get it from?
I've always listened to a lot of Motown music, which is funny enough because it's got nothing to do with Foolish, but from growing up, I listened to a lot of Motown, a lot of soul, ska music, reggae music.
I used to listen to ska when I was a kid. Yeah,
I'm an idiot. Ska music?
It's like...
sort of like reggae infused punk almost.
It's just a different type of soul, kind of like that kind of music, the offbeat kind of like.
Yeah. Where does that come? How come that type of music?
Sorry?
How come that type of music?
My dad brought me up on that type of music. My dad's from a very small country called St. Helena. Shout out to all the St. Helenians that are all probably not listening because there's about 10 of us
in
the
world.
It's the most smallest island you would
ever. Where is it?
In between South Africa and South America. It's where Napoleon was exiled.
Really?
Bro, no. It's tiny.
That's jokes.
It's literally...
I reckon you guys hold on to that.
That's all we've got. It's literally like something like 6,000 people in it. There's nothing. No, you can walk the whole island... in a day.
Have you been? You've obviously been.
I've not been, man.
Why have you been?
Because I was born over here.
Yeah.
And it is really, really long to get there. Richard Branson actually put an airport on the island, and then they can't use the airport because the wind of the sea is too dangerous.
He built an airport, no one can land there.
He pumped millions into making an airport on it and can't use it. I don't know if they can use it now, though. They might have sorted out. I don't know how you sort out the wind.
But dude, man, this is a freaking great TV show you should do. Where you go back, finally getting back there. Yeah,
trying to get there, because you have to get a boat there. Like, you, now you can get a plane, right? You can get a plane to Johannesburg, and you can get a boat from there to the island. And I do think the airport now is working, so you can actually get there via plane. But my grandparents, who were the first to come over here, did like a six day or seven, 8 day boat trip.
Oh my God.
All the way to Portsmouth. They docked in Portsmouth, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's crazy, long.
Dude, that is nuts.
Crazy, crazy.
I'd be terrified deep at sea on a boat like that.
There was like 14, my name was like 14. Said goodbye to her dad at the in St. Helena. He started crying, and she was like, "I don't understand why I'm crying. Why you're crying? I'll be back soon. Never come back.
That's savage.
It is sad. It really is. But
14.
Like, 14. I mean, maybe 16. I think 14 or 16.
Still, man,
but they come
crazy.
Over just after the wind rush.
Really?
Yeah. So it was. Yeah, they've been. And then apparently enough, my nan and my granddad, both St. Helenian, met over here.
Oh, really? No way.
What?
How mad is that?
That's so nuts.
Yeah, just crazy. By chance?
Just by chance.
No, come on.
Yeah, and I did, because they have like St. Helenian dances and stuff.
Yeah.
So...
it's like NYT. NYT. They knew.
They knew. And they met then, and that was it. That's how the family was kind of brought over here and made. But
that's weird. And your dad's still alive?
Yes.
Dad's alive. Yeah, and yeah. You're close to him?
Yeah, very close.
Dude,
yeah,
that's amazing. I love it when people have that kind of like connection through like music or stuff like that with parents. Because it really does connect.
No, definitely.
I just didn't have that with my parents. I didn't like...
What did you have? What connection with your parents?
I think I watched movies with my dad.
It's mostly that he was paying for everything. So
yeah.
Did you go to theatre?
No, we didn't. We kind of went, I didn't really like theatre that much because we went to musicals. I didn't like musicals.
Okay. You didn't like musicals? Not the Jersey Boys. I used to love
Jersey Boys. We used to go to things like Mamma Mia and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And I wasn't...
Lion King? Come on, fucking Lion King.
Lion King.
I don't like musicals in theatre. I don't like musical movies. Wind me up. I don't know why.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, not on a film.
You're both blaspheming. What are you talking about?
Well, Grease is the only one that I used to watch religiously. I used to watch that.
Grease is acceptable.
Hang on, shut up.
No.
Lion King the movie.
Nip, that's not a musical.
It is a musical. What is it?
Not really.
Frozen.
No.
No, I never watched Frozen.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. you looked at me so concerned.
Yes, I am concerned for you. I'm concerned for your safety. You've never watched Frozen. Oh my God.
I don't know.
I was talking to a friend who said like as a kid, like Frozen was obviously huge and she got told to watch Frozen. She watched the wrong Frozen, which is about six mates that get stuck on a thing up in the Alps and they get eaten by wolves. She was like, this is terrifying. Why has everyone told me to watch this?
I did that with, there was a TV program that came out, which I think it was meant to be like new Skins. It was all about drugs and things like that. Did anyone see?
I used to love Skins.
Skins was great.
He was my guy.
Oh my God, Skins was great. But there was a new TV show. Anyway, it's come out. It's out now, and it's all like hippy dippy and psychedelic stuff. This, and I started watching. I watched one episode. I was like, this is weird. I was like, this is just bananas, and they all like died, and I was like, this is crazy. Realised I watched the last episode.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't watch the series.
What's it called? What's the series called?
I can't remember what it's called. It's the new like type of Skins. Mm. So all of your love is like Motown. So who's your favourite artist, would you say?
Ooh.
Well, who's your favourite artist? Big question. Ooh. I get it. Growing up, who's your best favourite artist?
I listened to a lot of Marvin Gaye growing up. A lot of
Marvin Gaye.
I love Marvin, man. I learned a good fact about him. One of his albums, I can't remember which one it was, he'd done it all laying down. Literally. Because apparently he was laying down on a sofa and he had the microphone. He was like, I can't wait to stand up. I'm just going to record one of the songs laying down. But when you lay down, you sound different. Right,
because your diaphragm
is at a different angle. So then apparently his manager was like, you're doing the rest of the album laying down. And he did.
Are you serious?
Genuinely,
I want to know which one. I want to see the difference. I want to hear the difference.
I'll find out.
You should do your next record lying down.
Yeah. I think you should do it on your head. Do a handstand.
Just handstand on my head.
Handstand on your head. Yeah, do that. Just do a headstand and then...
Record.
Record.
Press that button. Engineer, press the button.
I reckon Iron Records would love that. I'd probably pass out. But it's... My thing is this with music. Is that... And look, I'm a novice to it all. But I just feel like there was so much magic back in the day. And there is magic still now, but it's different way of you digest music different. There's no CDs. It's all done on like things. But back in the day, it was like, there's so many stories of like, when you know, all these stories like sitting in like a studio and then someone playing like a beat.
Yeah.
And then they're going, oh, keep that. And it was like the beat.
That's generally how it goes in studios. You know, someone plays a beat and you go, that's it.
There's famous stories of like how, I don't know, Wonderwall was written and like the tune just like played out.
I think it was maybe slightly more organic back in the day and people, it was like emerging cultures, emerging scenes, whereas now it's slightly more formulated. People are going in with the purpose of making. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there was such like, you know, people, talking of lanes, people stayed in it. If you were punk, you lived and died for punk. Yeah, yeah. If you were rock, you lived and died for rock.
Imagining you dressed as a punk. No.
You should do that.
It's
my you fucking punk. Yeah. But it's true. But now it's not so much that there's not this like live or die attitude towards different genres of music. I don't think we kind of like this and kind
of
like that.
There's so many different genres of music. It's so diverse now. It's crazy.
There's new genres like drill coming through, which is
what's drill.
Sorry,
what did you say?
I said drill. You guys know what drill is?
Yeah, of course I do.
That's what Jamie does with his girlfriend.
No, drill is like it's a kind of new vibe of music, which is not, it's new, but it's not kind of new. It's just a different take on music. It's done really well.
Like, it's like aggressive rap.
Google a drill song.
I'll put a drill on. You will not like it.
It's just going to be,
Sorry, so hang on a second. So you look at me and you don't think I'd like drill.
No,
you don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me because
I'm ready to get drilled. Let's do it.
Whoa.
Come on, drill me.
You got
drill me, Jack.
Drill. Drills and you. Have you guys heard of drill? Don't all nod your heads. You just trying to be cool. Old school.
Well, the beginning of the intro.
Oh, we're gonna have enough money to pay the rest.
It's basically
this is drill.
It's basically grime, but a slightly different beat.
So explain. I don't. It's just my music is.
How would you explain? I can't. How do you explain drill? It's like it's just like from the streets, kind of like. The beat is just different kind of beat than what you've heard before, and it's just talking about shit that happens on the streets day to day.
Really?
And it's just a different take of music. And to be fair, I think, you know, people in the industry were kind of reluctant to take it in. I feel like radio at the beginning wasn't too sure about it because it's a lot about real, sometimes it's a lot about gangsters and it's a lot about gang life. And
I love that though. That's like
people don't really want to be, you know, radio stations don't.
You can relate.
I can relate. I just love you.
If you wrote a drill track, what would be the first lyric?
My Uber Lux turned up late. My what turned up late?
Uber Lux.
My Uber Lux turned up late.
It would be the most unrelatable chat.
My shovel didn't arrive. Now he's not alive.
Hey, you might use that. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. But no, but look, if you look at NWA and things like that back in the day, they just weren't played on the radio because they were talking about things that people didn't like. And that kind of stopped because... And now drill music, what you're saying is that sort of that type of thing is happening where, oh, we don't want to play this on the radio.
Well, drill just got a number one in the UK, which is massive with Russ, and it was like, and Tion, and for that to be a number one is like, it was like a turning point, I think, in the music world, because, you know, a lot of people, like I said, didn't really, like, radio stations, I feel, were a little bit like, oh, are we going to play it? Because it is talking about a lot of crime, it's talking about people dying and stuff like that, and it's just, but it's, that's real life, what happens in London on the streets. So, yeah, it's kind of new, but it's doing a lot.
I think all of the big breakthrough genres have always not been accepted by the mainstream first, and that's what makes them exciting.
Well, why
and
not? Makes why, them different. Why don't they get accepted?
Because it's too different. It's too scary for the, you know, the
Elvis. Elvis didn't get a lot of love when he first came out. Elvis was filmed.
Rock and roll was
Elvis was, well, on TV. Elvis, you know, he was a young guy and he had a lot of hip movement in his video. And when he was recorded on TV, they used to film him from his hip up because they didn't want to have music sexy, and they didn't want to see Elvis, you know, girls chucking themselves at him because he's moving his hips. And it was a whole different type of music that he was bringing out.
They used to have to do that on Made in Chelsea with Jamie. They used to have to pan up because he was just constantly thrusting at the camera.
I was just naked from the waist down. That's what I always was.
From the face down.
Face down, I was naked. Face down, I was naked.
Face down, ass up.
But I think I love that because I feel like what we are missing in the world, not missing in the world, because I just feel like we everything's sort of been done and everything is so accessible and everything is so instant all the time, is that things are replicated so quickly. You know, I don't know, you put a music out, right? Mm-hmm. And then someone can remix it straight away the next day. You know, that's what can happen. But to create a new sort of genre of music, you can't recreate that because people don't understand it yet. Mm-hmm. So I love all of that sort of newness that comes out of music. And that's what music would do, is that music would talk about what it's like to be living in other people's lives. And people, that's why you grew to it and loved it, because it really related to you.
Yeah.
And for so long, we lost that. Is that me? Maybe I'm talking nonsense, but I feel like it is. And like you said, you know, with the connection with your dad that you have with music, it's because, you know, it was probably about his upbringing and things like that. Yeah. And so then you relate to your dad much more. No,
definitely.
With that.
When it comes to my dad, you know, he's a man of color, and he's like, the best way to explain it is like, my dad's full color is of a mixed race man. That's the best way, but that's his full color. Yeah. So he growing up was very much, you know, he was racially profiled and, you know, had to kind of fight his way sometimes out of trouble.
Really?
And that was just because of his color, right? So
where was he living in London?
Yeah, Woodford, not far from me, where I'm at now.
Really?
Yeah, London. So, like, he was definitely, and my granddad as well, you know, he was, you know, just after the Windrush, and the way they was treated was really, really bad. And, you know, no blacks, no Irish, and no dogs. That was that kind of vibe.
Fucking hell, that's so crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. So for my dad, you know.
Irish, no blacks, and no dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why, like, the Irish, I've got a lot of love for the Irish because, you know, they was in, like, took in my granddad to certain bars and pubs in the area because that was a safe place for him to go for a drink. So me being growing up on, you know, ska music and reggae and soul music is because really that's what my dad was probably being listening to from my granddad. And then that's what my dad was, so that it kind of, yeah.
Did you growing up have any trouble, anything at all?
Yeah, I did. Like, I'm never going to be able to feel or understand what a black man goes through because totally, I'm not black. So I wouldn't try and say, yeah, I've gone through hard times. But there's definitely been scenarios that I find myself in that I was definitely treated slightly differently because of my dad's color.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's just bananas.
Yeah. It's crazy. I was young as well, and I didn't quite understand it, and then kept on happening, and my dad kind of sat me down, explained it, and I was like, oh, shit. But then I was like, but you're my dad. Why does anyone care? You know, I was just naive. You know, when you're young, you're just naive.
There's this amazing, crazy. I saw this amazing video, and you've probably seen it, where you see these toddlers playing together, and you've got a black toddler and a white toddler, and they just playing with each other and just having fun. And it's just the contrast, what you were seeing that was going on with the lives and all the, you know, Black Lives Matter and all these different things going on. And it's the innocence of just the young kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're just the same person. It's insane. And I just think that, I think, you know, my girlfriend's from the Middle East, and her sister, we were talking about all this kind of stuff and racial abuse and things like this. And, you know, I'm a white guy, right? So I don't understand. I've never experienced it. I've seen it happen and things like that. And my girlfriend's sister said, you have to imagine this. And I'm very protective of her now. And she said, when she turned up to Newcastle University, you know, she was in the queue. And so this guy went into the club in front of her. And the other guy said, oh, hold it there. And the guy turned and said, don't let her in. She probably has a bomb in her.
Wow.
And it was her first week at university, at Freshers Week. And she went home and cried, couldn't go out for the whole week. It's crazy that fucking happens. Hell. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And this is the thing, like, people with Black Lives Matter, and some people try and say to me, yeah, you know, but all lives matter. And I feel like saying to them, like, I literally explained this one person because they just really couldn't understand it. Right. And I said to them, imagine, you know, on your street, there's a house, your neighbor's house is on fire. Right. And that the house is burning up. Right. Now, the fire engines turn up to put the house out, right? The fire. You're not going to have other neighbors going, yeah, but my house matters as well. Why don't you? My house matters as well. No, your house, of course it does matter, but your house isn't the one that's burning down, you fucking idiot.
Fuck, right? Is that
your teeth? So, like,
this analogy is unbelievable.
But I had to break it down to this girl because she didn't understand. And I was like, do you now understand? She goes, oh, now I understand. So, like, I feel like some people just don't get it because, you know, they haven't gone through.
Haven't gone through it, for sure.
Through it. And you know, lucky for them. But they need to be able to be aware that, you know, yes, all lives matter. But right now, black lives aren't the same and not being equally treated as white. So,
dude, this is probably why that you're so good at jumping into different lanes and doing different things, because you're just literally like, well, I've seen it happen to potentially to my dad growing up and things like that. So I'm just like, fuck it, I don't care what people think, you know, because I've seen it happen before. So I want to do this, I want to do that, and that's probably what drives you forward in lots of different ways.
Yeah, always.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is there any times, especially with like something like Love Island, that you think, because I've seen you on other podcasts and things like this, and typically the easiest thing to talk, if you come on a podcast, I can sit here and I can talk to you about Love Island, right, if I wanted to, but you've been asked all the questions in the world, so I always never want to do that. Do you ever have times where you think, I wish I hadn't done Love Island, or do you always go, oh, I'm glad, or do you wish you had just done music straight away?
I've always been very grateful to do Love Island. First of all, that was like one of the best experiences I've ever done, and I probably will ever do. I don't regret it. I think for me, it's opened up so many doors and put me in contact with so many people and really changed my life, because beforehand I was working as a PT and I was getting up every morning at 4 a.m. I was then also chasing my dream.
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
Why were you getting up at 4 a.m.?
My clients start at 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's protein. I was just coming home.
Exactly. That's what I'm like now. But I'm getting up at 4 in the morning. I'm my first client's at 6. I'm not finishing until 8 p.m. I then, you know, train in the evening to play football. And I wasn't getting home till like 11. And then doing it again.
So that repetition.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting. And like, it definitely changed my life, because I'm no longer doing that.
But you experienced that. So now you know what you don't want to do.
Yeah. So like, I remember saying to my friends, like, you know, I'm going on Love Island. If you see me put this uniform back on, something's gone very bad. So please, I don't want to put this uniform back on.
What uniform did you wear?
I just thought like, because the thing is, where I was working, like a lot of a lot of reality TV people go there, and a lot of footballers go there. It's a really nice gym, and I always felt every morning I was seeing the footballers come in after their training session, and you know, I thought I can do that. Like, I want your lifestyle, because I know I'm good enough and I should be doing that. And for me, it didn't kind of happen through the football route.
Why didn't it happen? I was going to ask you, who did you play for?
I was playing at Bishop Stortford.
You were a keeper, right?
I was not a keeper.
I look at you and I think keeper.
Because I'm tall. I was a centre-half. I was a centre-back.
Were you?
Defender, yeah.
Oh, you'd be nasty.
I was terrible.
I reckon
horrible,
you were nasty.
I was really nasty. When I think back to some of the things I did, I feel so bad.
Studs everywhere.
Knee height. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, terrible.
Double foot.
Genuinely, elbows. I was pinching people. I was punching people when the ref weren't watching. Genuinely, it was nasty. I was terrible. When I think back to it, I think, right, that's literally GBH.
It's true. I remember I played football at my boarding school. So
it was nasty. Pinch my bum.
Boy, it was nasty. But I remember, because I played up front, and the centre defenders is nasty.
Terrible.
Horrible.
Because the whole game,
grabbing you, just like everything, is awful.
Yeah, I scrape your Achilles with my studs.
Jesus.
When you go up for a header, I'll just punch you in the head.
I can see why you didn't progress in your career.
Were you good enough, though? Were you good enough?
Listen, everyone's had trials, right? Everyone's had trials to be clubs, but...
Not me. Nor is Alex.
I was probably... I know if I had the right training from a younger age, I would have been able to play pro. I never got the opportunity, like chance to, but I was what, 21, 22 by then. And some of my friends had been playing for Man United and Arsenal by then. And I thought, look, if I'm going to be able to have
Are
a career.
Really?
Yeah. Some boys are in the Prem. Yeah.
Who's sick. Talking? Who?
Oh, we got. Yeah, man, we got. Well, my friend Joe Willock, he's at Arsenal. Well, he's actually just gone to Newcastle now, so big up to him.
Really?
Yeah, man, he's. I'm proud of him. He's a couple years below me, and I remember. I generally remember this in Ibiza, right? So this is Ibiza 2019. And I'm walking into Ocean Beach. Shout out Wayne in the car. I'm walking into Ocean Beach.
You're thinking, I'm fucking famous. I just come from Love Island.
That's another story. That story's so jokes. So I'm walking in, right? And there used to be a gym, outside gym, next to O Beach. And I see Matty Willock, Chrissy Willock, and Joe Willock, all boys from my school. Matty was in my year. They all play pro. And I see them working their nuts off in the gym, right? On the bikes, like sweating with their trainer. And there's me walking into O Beach. And although I was having the littest time, I just come off Love Island. Like, this is like, I'm having a great time. My life's great at the moment, yeah? In my heart, I was like, I was jealous.
Oh no.
I was like, I'm about to go and have an absolute sick day, O Beach, bottles, girls, all the rest of it, right? But you guys have the lifestyle and the dream that I've always wanted from a young age. So, but I was speaking to them and I remember saying to them, like, guys, just keep doing it. Cause I felt, you know, they come into Ocean Beach after to see me and it was like, this is nuts. Like you, this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, cause it'd be in the height of the
bench pressing girls, young girls.
No, like, I remember
bench pressing girls. The boys come in Wayne Lineker.
I can actually picture it.
Honestly, I think he's my spirit animal.
Oh no. I remember I was chatting to them and they was a little bit like taken back by what they was seeing. And I said, guys, like,
you mentioned four girls? Jesus, man.
And I just said, guys, just like, don't, like, this is wicked, but it's, you know, it's 10 minutes of fame. Like, go and chase your dream and be a footballer, and this is exactly what you need to be doing. And then literally a couple months after, Joe went and signed like a big deal with Arsenal. So it was like sick. So sick.
Insane. But that's insane that you had that idea of fame that age and that soon after, because that normally takes a long time. Typically, I think, listen, this is from my own experience with fame, is that people say, oh, fame is this and fame is that. Fame, when you first have it, is exciting.
It's new.
It's new. And it's like, what the hell? And it's, you know, the reason why people had Facebook to be with, whatever, is because you wanted people to like your photos and Instagram, all these different things. And then you have that in mass, but then you realize how fickle it is and how. Just nonsense.
It's complete nonsense. And also what I realise is it's a conveyor belt. Like every year there's another Love Island. You know what I mean? So there's going to be another Islander who's fresher. You know what I mean? Who's come out and the girls want to be. That's fine. That's what I didn't realise that's what I was signing up for. But I know now and I've been okay with that for a long time. But I'm just very comfortable.
That's why you got to start releasing records.
But to be honest, when you've experienced that, it takes a while to get used to when you realize that, oh shit, I'm not the only person this is happening to. It's happening to other people and other people are doing the same thing. That's quite hard, I think. For me, that was difficult to begin with, because you suddenly go, oh, you're not as popular as you thought, or you're not as this you thought, or you're not as that as you thought. And then you think, oh shit, the only way that I can ever get jobs or get work or do this or that is because of that. And actually, it's not, because you just go through life. It's just actually... Am I rambling?
No, I just imagine it was when you were going to PAs and there was like three people queuing up for the photos and you're remembering back the glory days.
Brighton that time. Oh.
Jamie's the only person that's been kicked out of about 10 of his own PAs for being too drunk. Yeah, he used to be so bad.
I used to get very drunk.
Yeah. He was a nightmare, honestly.
My first PA I ever did was in Coventry and we went through a metal detector. To get into the thing, and I was like, this is a bit scary.
You were like, oh shit, I've got my 9 mil.
God, I was like, 9 mil? What? But I went in there and I was so excited to be there. I bought the whole club a drink.
Why?
I don't know, because I was so excited that I was invited to like.
This is someone that takes on fame very badly. Yeah, I'll buy the club.
It was a mad experience. But I think, anyway, going back to the point is that. Fame is a tricky thing, but you to experience that early is interesting. But also, you're so right. This is fickle. It's nonsense. And to follow your actual dream of what you want to go to, like you're doing with music now, that is the coolest thing too, because that is tangible. That's real. That's something you can hold on to. Yeah. That's something that you can look back on and go, freaking out, this is what I did myself and I went towards. Do you regret not following football and really going for it and pushing it?
I think football for me, I loved it. I just don't think I was going to be able to make a living off it. Because I was good. I just, if the chance of me signing a big deal at 22, it happens. Don't get it wrong. It happens. People do that.
People say it's luck.
It is luck. Some of it is luck. Because you just could have a really, really good game and there's a scout there. And you just, of all games, you have the best game of your life and he wants to take you on trial. And then boom, you've blown and you've gone through. And
is that really what happens?
You know, the scouts at most games. Most games, yeah, the scouts.
They weren't at yours, were they? No, clearly.
No one to be seen. My rugby days, where are you? Come watch me. Wait, hang on. So this school level, but are you playing club level at this point?
I was playing club level at this time.
So club level, then
but
you
even
get
school
a scout.
Games, like even at school games, you like if there's any listeners who are athletes, you never know who's watching when. Like you have to just always treat your games on a weekend like there's a scout there because. You know, it probably is.
Really?
There's always someone, because I remember I was playing a game and the scout wasn't there, but someone who knew a scout, who knew that they needed a particular player what he needed to be, like his technique and his position. Called the agent and said, look, there's a player here that I think you should come have a look at. And they come looking. I went on my trials.
He's really good at knocking people out.
You never know. You never know who's there. You never ever know. There might be a scout there that's come to watch one player who might be not even on your team. But when he's watching that player, you've actually caught his eye, and is now standing you. You honestly, you never know who's watching ever.
It's mad. I think following as a kid though, following your dreams is like so important. I think this goes back to the point of school. Sometimes when you're at school, your dreams get knocked out of you. Is that it? They really do. I feel like
a little bit
sometimes. And we also, I heard this thing once that we all have a blueprint in life. Like, mm-hmm. So we grow up, we go, right, I want to be married at this point, have kids at this point, do this at this point, this point, this point. Like, that's what you have in your head.
Yeah.
And then when your blueprint doesn't go to plan, you start to panic. Oh my God, this hasn't happened. And actually, there's no point having a blueprint in life.
That is so true.
It's so true. It's so true. Because then you're setting yourself up for failure, because it is so rare for an individual. And I think anyone, you should really listen to this if you're half listening. Listen to this.
Pay
attention right now. But it's true. We have these blueprints in life and we want them to go to plan. And nothing in life goes to plan.
Very, very, very rarely.
I think
very
often rarely. That's someone else's idea of a blueprint that's put on you. It's not your own, is it? We get taught at school. We get told by our parents to do a certain thing. We have to discover it for ourselves. I think. And I think when you do that, that's when life gets good, I think.
I think having goals is important.
So important.
Goals are important.
Especially in football, because...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it's a nil-nil draw. Yeah.
But no, having goals
is so important.
Goals is very important. I think, you know, I've always thought, you know, I need a plan. And yeah, to some extent, you should have a very loose-fitting plan. Like, you know, I would, but not too direct. Like,
I think a plan is good. There's no blueprint. This is what has to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot about life is just trial and error. Like, I want to make mistakes all day, every day, because I'm learning. No one's gonna succeed by always being right, ever. You have to make mistakes.
Yeah, coming on this podcast is one of them.
Huge mistake. But I totally agree with you. And I think that making mistakes is the sort of purest form of like learning stuff. There's no other way to learn stuff. But also, I think having goals and also having a purpose. And this is what I think for men. And, you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about mental health and things like that, like anxieties and things. The problem, the real issue with guys is that we have is that, you know, typically, okay, I always worry when I say these things, but typically women are born with purposes. They are because they're able to give birth. Typically, right? That's generally what happens. As a woman, you can give birth. And so that is kind of a purpose right there, that you can give birth. As guys, we don't really have that. So we have to kind of discover what our purpose is on this planet. And yeah, I mean, going to the gym or this or that and stuff, that it kind of helps you. But it's really hard. And that's why a lot of guys struggle, is they get to a certain age and they go, well, what am I actually really doing here? And I think that's a real tough thing to find out. And so when your blueprint as a male doesn't go to plan, it's really upsetting. I think that's what causes a lot of anxieties in guys.
Yeah, I think anxiety in men is really, really high.
Have you ever experienced anxiety?
Yeah, I felt a lot back during lockdown. I was just really concerned, because I was quite unwell. I had meningitis and then went into lockdown. So
she had meningitis.
Yeah.
Oh mate, that's not cool.
Yeah, it's not good at all. Don't do it.
Don't
get that.
Yeah. Oh, do you have to roll the glass in your eye?
No, that's bacterial. Man, I had viral meningitis. So bacterial is when the meningitis is in your brain. Okay. Viral is when it's around the membrane. So I had that.
Which one's worse? The bacterial is worse. Bad.
But you can die from bacterial. You can lose your height. You can
lose your height.
You can don't give that to me.
You can lose your sight and like limbs and memory.
Hearing, everything.
Jeez. Everything can go. But no, I had viral. Very, very, very bad. But then it went straight into lockdown. So like, I was just worried because I didn't know if I was... I just didn't know where my career was kind of going for a couple of weeks. I was like, I haven't been on the scene for like 2 months before lockdown. Now lockdown, like, who knows how long lockdown's going to last? That's like... 14, 15 months of no... But I think I was very lucky, because throughout lockdown, I got booked quite a lot to do, just leaned on my social media, so it was fine. But I don't feel like I've had anxiety to the point where it's like, you know, I can't cope. But then I know that, you know, if it does get to that point, I have people around me that I can talk to. And that's the biggest thing, because even when I haven't had really bad anxiety, I've had times where I've been quite lost and quite and gone to dark places. Yeah. And I've always felt like I can talk to people.
That's so important.
And it's amazing, because I'm a big advocate for it. So I thought, I was sitting in my room and was like, I don't really want to talk to anyone about it, but I can't tell everyone to talk to someone about it when they're going through a rough patch and then not do it myself. I was like, I need to talk to... And then when I spoke to my friend about it, he was like, bro, I've gone through the same thing.
And echo.
I was like, no way. That was it, bro. That was it. I was fine.
Dude,
I was fine.
I remember I sat with our buddies you weren't there actually, but we were sitting and we were talking about stuff, and it was just between lockdowns. And a while ago, and we're talking about stuff, and I was saying, God, you know what? I just really miss like hanging out with just friends all the time. And like, I, you know, when I walk around, because the lockdown happened, I was like, do I call? I call my mum, and they went, oh my God, I do the same. I miss like, and it was like this echo back. And guys, when you actually open up and talk about it, they go, shit, I felt the same way. And you go, thank God.
Yeah.
It's bizarre when you do that. Alex, he just
bottle it up. Yeah.
You bottle up and try and sell it, don't you? That's what you're trying to do.
Got tons of this stuff.
You know, you're a closed book sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I just don't like opening up the floodgates, which is bad. It's not the best way.
But the thing
is,
it's very normal. I read a book recently. Men are from Mars and Women are from Venus. I don't know if you.
Yeah, it's famous.
It's amazing. I was trying to read it because I was with a girl at the time. I was like, I need to understand you because you're like a different creature. You're just a complete.
Who was it? Is this your ex?
Yeah. And I was just like. So we read it together. Funny enough, we both read it. And I was like, going through the book, and I was like, oh, that's why you're like that. And she was going, well, that's why you're like that. And it's so true, because in the book, it says that, you know, women, you know, they, when something goes wrong, they just want to talk about it. And that's why they have, you know, they get their girls round, bottle of wine, and just talk. Mm. And then, you know, men typically go into their man cave and just go into their room and just hold it and bottle it up. And it just kind of was just kind of
made you realize about the two different sides.
The two different sides and how, you know, men and women typically deal with their problems.
Good use of the word.
Typically.
Everyone's
different.
Yeah. So,
everyone's different.
Don't hate me on Twitter.
Yeah. Covering your back.
Everyone's different.
Yeah.
So typically.
Allegedly.
Dude, I'm so with you. And so I think that's so wicked that you say that. I think it's so important. You speak out about stuff and understand different things. How do you deal with breakups? Do you find it tough?
Yeah, like breakups, every breakup's different. I feel like I went through one not too long ago, start of the year. And I feel like because it was for the right reasons, it was actually kind of not easy, but it was a lot. I could understand it more. Whereas other breakups, I've kind of been a little bit like, where the fuck did that come from? Like those kind of breakups are so strange. Like, I thought it was good and now we're not, and then we broke. Weird. But
had your heart broken?
Yeah.
It sucks.
It is so shit.
And the thing is as well, isn't it the worst?
A lot of men.
It's possibly the worst.
A lot of guys are probably like, don't like admitting it, but like, yeah, it happens. It's part of life.
Have you had your heart broken?
Yeah, I'm sure. Have I? I'm trying to think.
Well, don't ask me. I don't know.
I've had some really messy relationships where we both like treat each other like shit.
That's and toxic.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's toxic.
Yeah.
That's not as bad.
Two broken hearts.
Have you? But I say this every time. There was a I got broken up with, and it was so horrible. I was crying. I was on my hands and knees on a bridge in Oxford. Which she was there as well. I was just on a bridge, and I was crying, and the teardrops were just landing on her plimsolls, and like because it was making marks on the plimsolls.
Have you been doing PE?
Yeah, we've been doing ballet. Anyway, exciting. And I remember thinking this is low, and I still begged. Please don't. I want to be with you. Like, and I thought in my head, this is low. You're not going to get
that's
when
you're at that age, though. You're so like that. It's so drastic.
Oh, how old are you?
32. I know.
Then.
I was 16, 17.
Yeah, see?
At that age.
And the thing is, at that age, right, because I was the same. I did something stupid at that age. And it's because you
Kissed a teacher.
Yeah, I was going to say. Took it to Prezzo. Should have gone to Pizza Express.
Should have gone fucking ZZ's. No, but at 16, 17, because it's your first heartbreak, you've got no reference.
Yeah.
And so when I had my first heartbreak, I was like, I remember saying to my dad, like, what the fuck is this pain?
It genuinely was at the end of the world, isn't it?
No, it genuinely, I remember I was sitting down on the sofa at like 7 a.m, crying my fucking eyes out. And then my dad stayed home from work. Because he was like, I can't leave you like this. So he stayed from work. My stepmom came downstairs and she was like, oh my God, I hope you're okay. She's gone to work, done a full day's work, come back. I'm still sat
still
down.
Crying.
Oh my
crying.
God.
I had the same.
I'm still sat down. My curtains are drawn. There's just loads of tissue everywhere. I'm crying. Like, there's no difference.
My mum literally had to cradle me and just stroke me. So I was like, I don't get it. What is this?
You don't understand.
No, you don't get it. But as you go on, you slowly go, okay, I understand.
You reference
now.
It back and you understand. And the thing as well, like, I feel like women don't feel like we do this. I feel like women women just feel that they do this, but guys do this.
Oh my God,
guys do this. And you know, the big guys listening now have probably been able to relate to it. Mm. And that's cool, because sometimes you feel like you're on your fucking own going through it.
Mm.
And it's only when you go through it a couple times, you get a bit older, and you talk to your friends about it, you can start to relate. But yeah, heartbreak sucks.
Oh man, it's the learnt experience.
Yeah.
Is that pain?
Yeah, you speak to your mates about it, and they'd be like, oh, how are you getting on? You'd be like, yeah, mate, really good. Yeah. Really good, actually.
Yeah, and they're like, don't message her. Fine, I won't. You message her like 800 times.
Yeah.
And then what you do as a guy, this is what I used to do, you send them like really nice messages, they don't reply, so you send them really horrible messages, and then you go back and forth between two characters.
Bad cop, good cop.
Douchebag, like, listen, oh God, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. It's horrible, but dude, I think it's so right. And that's the same thing with anxiety or whatever anyone's going through. If it's your first time that you experienced it, it's so horrible because you never know you can get through that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always get through these things.
Yep.
It's just you have to learn the fact that you can get through them.
Yep.
Whatever it is, relationships, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, listen, dude, we've taken out so much of your time. Music Foolish is out. You can go and stream it, download it, all these things. Guys, go and freaking do it.
Just fine.
This guy's a legend. Go and check it out. 59p, you cheapskates. So that was really rude of me.
That was quite harsh. I do want them to let them. Scared them.
I'm really sorry, guys. I apologize for that. But we can leave the link below in our description as well.
That.
For sure. What other music? Any gigs coming up? Anything at all?
Do you know what? I just come back from Leeds, not Leeds Festival, but a festival in Leeds. That was my first kind of performance of doing Foolish.
Nerve-wracking?
It wasn't. Like I knew the crowd were jumping anyway. So it was kind of wicked to go out there and just be a part of it and perform. But what was really sick was when Foolish came on, they started singing it back. And that for me, I was like, holy shit. That's amazing.
Yeah,
like, that was so sick. And doing that performance is amazing. And everyone was just vibing to it. And the reaction I got was amazing. So, you know, that was sick. And then I had a club appearance in Ipswich, performed the song there as well. And it was the same vibe. So, you know, 2 out of 2 so far for me.
Leeds, Ipswich, London, killing it.
Yeah, bro. I'm loving it. I'm actually loving
Where
it.
Where next? New York, I think so.
Who knows,
baby? Miami, baby.
Miami.
Listen, Jack, honestly, go and check out his music. We can find it. You're on Spotify as well.
I'm on Spotify, Apple Music.
And we're going to hear your drill soon's coming out.
My drill.
Drill music coming out. I can't wait for my drill music to come out. I'm really... Jack, do listen. Ollie, but this has been a real pleasure, man. I really, really appreciate it. What we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational. It's up to you.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not kidding you.
Actually?
Yeah, I should probably warn you about that. Yeah, but yeah, something inspirational.
Goddamn. Okay, guys, listen... Be you, you know, genuinely be you. A lot of people sometimes look at social media and they see lifestyles that they want to have on social media. You might look at people in the limelight, their social media, and you think, why is my life not like theirs? Top tip, social media is a load of bollocks.
But follow me.
Social media, genuinely, people only put what they want you to see on it. So you only probably see the high times of their life. So just take that with a pinch of salt and just enjoy yours.
Jack, I appreciate it, buddy. Nice. Everyone, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye! Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.